If anything, what I have learned is that we are all interconnected.
You were raised Catholic. How did you rediscover your heritage and these Jewish roots?
If you know that you have Jewish ancestry, you are not converting. You are returning to what was taken away from you.
Welcome back to our sparkling summer edition of Being Jewish with Jonah Platt, 30-Minute Mensches. Same vibe, same tribe, shorter episodes. My guest today is a descendant of crypto-Jews, and no, it has nothing to do with Bitcoin. Born in Mexico and raised Catholic, she rediscovered her Jewish ancestry and quickly became a leader in the movement to reconnect descendants of Spain and Portugal's forcibly converted Jews with their rightful Sephardic heritage. She's now the president of the Society for Crypto-Judaic Studies, where she's working to uncover centuries of hidden Jewish identity and help other B'nai Anusim reclaim theirs as well. Please give a warm welcome to Blanca Carrasco.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
For listeners who might be new to this whole concept, if you would, tell us who were the crypto Jews and how does your own family story fit into this history of this community?
So during the Spanish Inquisition, there was an edict by the kings then, Ferdinand and Isabella, that all the Jews in the country either convert to Catholicism or to leave the country. Many Jews decided to leave, knowing that they will leave with nothing, none of their possessions nor their money, but many of them decided to leave. And we understand that there were different places where they left, particularly to Turkey, the Ottoman Empire. Many of those converts decided to continue practice Judaism, although they were Catholics, the Inquisition started looking for them. So crypto-Jews means these are converts who decided to continue practice Judaism, and yet the Inquisition now is after them. So they face persecution, death, and many were able to leave Spain and go into the new Spain. And that's how my family comes to being. I am descended of Marcos Alonso de la Garza y de Larcón, who was a captain, went to Mexico, and eventually migrated up, looking for places to be as far away from the Inquisition as possible, with the understanding the Inquisition is not in Mexico or New Spain then. So they migrated, they kept coming north. He was part of this new group of Spaniards inhabiting Nuevo León. There's a particular place in Nuevo León called Monterrey, and the Garzas are very, very well-known families in that area. So I come from the Garza family.
Just to clarify for my listeners, maybe they've heard the term conversos.
Correct.
That's everybody who converted to Christianity, to Catholicism in that Inquisition period. And the crypto-Jews were the conversos who in secret continued to practice, right?
That is correct. Yes, they were called either new Christians, nuevos cristianos, or conversos.
I hadn't heard this term, but B'nai Anusim. I hadn't come across that until I was researching this interview. Can you tell me about that one?
Yes, B'nai Anusim, the children of the Anusim. The word Anusim in itself, it's a derogative word per se. It comes from Anus, like the raped ones or the forced ones. Many descendants of crypto Jews decide not to use that word because of the connotation. But we do use it so that people understand that our ancestors were raped.
Yeah.
They were taken, you know, they were forcibly converted.
And your ancestor, Garza, he was a crypto Jew himself?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is well documented now that he was. And many of Garzas have already received their Spanish citizenship because they could prove that our ancestor was.
Oh, wow.
My great-grandmother, Constanza de la Garza, she was tried in Islas in Canary Islands. She died in house arrest, but her bones were burned with an effigy of herself and her brother alive, and three more people from the community. They were burned at a stake in an acto de fe in Islas Canarias.
Wow. because they were discovered as being crypto Jews?
Uh-huh. They were proselytizing, per se. They were, again, sharing Judaism with that community.
So you were raised Catholic.
Correct.
At what point did you rediscover, and how did you rediscover your heritage and these Jewish roots?
I was born in Torreón, Coahuila, which is 9 hours south from the border, El Paso Juarez, where I live. I was born to a gorgeous single mother. I knew who my father was, his name, but I never actually met him, Mr. Israel Garza Salinas. He's the editor of a newspaper, and that's it. But I grew up Catholic, as my grandmother instructed us. So I was very, very involved in Catholicism. I'm passionate about religion. My mom, she gets to leave the Catholic Church. She goes to a small church in Juarez, and this Christian pastor keeps telling them that they need to love their Jewish brethren because Judaism is the root of their faith. And somehow somebody's teaching them about the Shabbat and the Jewish festivals. And now my mom is like, a new world has opened up in front of her eyes. And she's sharing with me what she's learning. Somebody invites this person called Jonathan Zetel, who was a Jew and turned into a Messianic Jew. And now he's going all over the world teaching about Messianic Judaism, about the Jewish festivals, and that Jesus was Jewish. And he happens to come to El Paso, to Ciudad Juarez, and I happen to go listen to him. And at that moment, something just clicked on me. You know, it's like, I want to learn. I want to know more. And he taught us about the Shabbat, and we ate challah, and we drank the wine. And he goes, this is, you know, reminiscent of the Mass. So he was trying just to make us understand as Christians or Catholics as to, you know, how Judaism was the root of our faith.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that, I was invited to a Seder. When we went, my husband, my children, we all went to the Seder. And when I was taking or partaking of the Seder, I felt like the story that I have been reading all over for so many years, you know, through just that Bible, it was becoming alive. I could use my five senses. I can smell, I can taste, I can hear, you know, the beautiful Hebrew songs. It changed my total perspective as to what I have been believing, you know, for so many years. I decided to want to learn more, and I joined the Messianic congregation here in El Paso. And that's where I learned, you know, to read Hebrew and to watch a lot of movies that had to do with Judaism or Jewish practices, and wanting to learn more about, you know, the Jewish people. And we will be getting so deep into trying to understand, you know, the Bible, but not the New Testament. It's like, now we want to know, you know, the Jewish Bible, what the Christians call the Old Testament. So now it's like, no, we're not interested about Jesus. We're interested about everything else. And that continued growing. And I keep going to these. We became members of the Messianic congregation. And one day somebody mentioned a newspaper article from Las Cruces, from New Mexico, that it talked about how many Hispanics' last names have crypto-Jewish origins. Then guess what? All my last names are there, and my husband's last names are there. It's like, let us look into that, you know? So, and again, think about me. I'm just focusing on my mom because I know who my dad is, but this is Enriquez, Espinosa, Crispin, Perez. These are my mom's last names. And now all of those last names are there.
Wow.
So we go like, time to start looking. Let us go more deep into doing research. During that time that I was at the Messianic congregation, Rabbi Steven Leon from the mainstream Jewish conservative movement here in El Paso, he was the rabbi who was teaching the Messianic rabbi how to read Hebrew, how to conduct services, how to read Torah. And he was very, very engaged in reaching out to all of us who will think we might have Jewish roots in anything that he might be able to help us.
Yeah.
We keep going, learning and not doubting many, many of the things, you know, the Christian beliefs.
Sure.
And we had to make a decision, my family and I, as to do we want to continue here or do we need to leave? Do we fit here or don't we? So we decided to leave the Messianic congregation. We reached out to Rabbi Leon and we said, we don't belong there. That was just like a bridge for us to get here, because I couldn't just leave my Christianity like nothing, like just like that. And to me, it was like a bridge to get to.
That makes total sense. Yeah.
So he goes, you're welcome to be here whenever, if you decide you want to return, because this is the word he says. If you know that you have Jewish ancestry, you're not converting, you're returning to what was taken away from you.
Yeah.
He goes, but it's up to you. And I remember telling him that time, and I go, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I know my last names are there, but I don't know. And he goes, it doesn't matter. Your heart is what matters. And if you want to be here, you're welcome. And we started going through classes. We told Rabbi we want to convert. We want to learn. We want to relearn things that, right? So it took us a year, my husband and I.
Right. And is that what the conversion process was more about for you, was about the education and the learning than necessarily feeling you had to do it for the official approval?
Exactly. It's like, I need to learn. I need to erase, you know, the cassette that has been there forever. Honestly, because it's like, now it's like, no, that's not true. Oh, no, that's not the way.
Right.
The rabbi, he created the Anusim Center for learning. And since I'm a graphic designer, we decided to create a newsletter in English and Spanish and to showcase stories and to teach about Judaism, Judaism 101. I'm creating this newsletter. I'm the editor. I'm then the graphic designer. And I'm picking up stories, you know, from friends and congregants to put into the magazine. One story comes to my hands, and as I am transcribing into Spanish, they speak about the Garcias and the Garzas in Monterrey and how they are Jewish and they knew forever that they were Jewish. And at that moment, Joe and I go like, oh my goodness, I am Garza. So it's like, remember, I happened to be Garza. We approach my mom and I, we both approach my mom's grandmother's sister. She was 102. And I go, tia, tia, do you remember anything out of the ordinary that you will do that not everybody else will do? And she will go, yes, whenever there was a burial, we will cover all the mirrors in the house and we will be dressed in black for a whole month or a whole year. And we won't bathe. We won't even fix ourselves. Okay. So that's one thing. And then she said something that struck with me. She goes, and again, she's 102, and we're forcing her to remember something. And she goes, yes, Juanita, whenever your grandma didn't want the younger siblings to understand her, she will speak Ladino. And when she say Ladino, I go like, oh, well, how can I interpret that? You know, Ladino, we understand, is Jewish and Hebrew and Spanish. She goes, that's all I can tell you.
It's a lot of proof right there.
Right. So I hold on to that. And I told Rabbi, guess what, Rabbi? This is what I learned about my mom's side, right? The Espinosas. And this is through the Espinosas. And he goes, well, that's as far as we can go. It's okay. It doesn't matter. What matters is your path and what you want, wherever you want to go. So at age 50, 9 years ago, I decided I'm going to go look for my family. So I start on Facebook with anyone who was Garza or Salinas, you know, in the area.
Wow.
And who happened to have a public Facebook, I will send them a message saying, do you know this person? I happen to have one tiny photo where his face showed. And I circled it and I put, he used to work here and by this time and during these years. And if you know anything, I'll appreciate it if you can help me. I didn't say he was my dad. I just said, I'm looking for him. So I sent like 100 messages that night. And I got a response the following day. Somebody said, check out this group on Facebook called Somos Primos. And these are all the Garzas that you can imagine. They are in that group. Just ask them. to allow you to be part of it, and then post your photo. Hopefully someone can give you info.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks after that, I'm back in El Paso. I'm coming from Juarez to El Paso. I'm sitting on the bridge, you know, waiting to cross. And here comes a message through Messenger and two photos of my dad. And that person goes like, prima, cousin, is this your dad? I didn't faint because it's like I'm driving, right? But it's like, oh my God, this is my son. I have a daughter son. And he looks exactly, my dad and my, or my son and my dad, they look exactly like each other.
Wow.
So I get home, I'm trembling. I show my family the photo. My son starts trembling because he's like, oh my God, this is me. And I go, well, finally, we can at least, you know, relate to someone. I tell them the great news. I log into Ancestry, the trip's waiting for me. And that's where I see all these ancestors all the way up to Spain and Portugal in the 1800s.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I don't know how far back I can go.
What I have learned through all these amazing things that I've been, you know, unearthing is that we are all related, Jonah. We did DNA testing. My daughter, Rebecca, and my husband, Cesar, they show Sephardic ancestry, whereas sure. My son and myself shows Ashkenazi.
Hmm.
And you will go like, but what are you talking about, Ashkenazi? Out of 10,000 people who might match DNA, I have the familiar last names, you know, Garza, Gonzalez, Martinez, Garcia, but I also have Levy, Levin, Asher, Greenberg, and those are my cousins.
Wow.
So if anything, what I have learned is that we are all interconnected. It doesn't seem like, but we are. And I'm talking to you, and I can tell you, I was born in Torreón, Coahuila. I've never heard of a Jew in my life, and yet they are my cousins.
Wow.
And if people understand that we share DNA, maybe we see each other through a different lens.
I love that message. And it's clear you're putting your money where your mouth is and trying to connect your community even deeper.
I think with kindness and with empathy and showing respect, that's how people have come to learn about what I practice, and they ask me. I don't come and impose on them. And that has been my mantra. Judaism comes into one phrase. I want to do tikkun olam. I want to work with God to make this a better world. The rest doesn't matter what I eat or how I dress or how I, you know, it's what comes out of my mouth and what I do with my hands and how I look for the betterment of the community near me and around me and my family. And that's my message, Jonah. And I think that's the reason that the society invited me to be their president, because although I don't have a PhD, I am the fruit of their labor. I am the results of their so many years of research. I am living proof that what they discovered, it was right.
That's a perfect segue, because I want to know more about the Society for Crypto-Judaic Studies. What is the mission of the organization, and what kind of impact are you seeing that you're able to have?
Yes. So I have the Hala piece here. It's the magazine that we print twice a year. But
what does that mean, Hala piece?
The Hala piece is a. Let me tell you what Hala piece. Todo se ilumina. All is illuminated for those who seek the light. So this is what anybody who's looking for the light, they can find it, you know. And that's the name of the magazine. But in this magazine, twice a year, we post stories of, again, our researchers. And this is an academic-oriented organization. It's not religious at all, because everybody is welcome to participate. And we don't proselytize, absolutely. Again, this is merely academic. And we share the research of the people who are passionate about these stories. And these stories go beyond not just Spain or Sephardic. It goes all the way to those other hidden communities that we've seen is pretty much all over the world. I was invited to give a presentation to people in Turkey, and they are the same as us, crypto Jews, but they are not Christians, they are Muslims. So they had to choose to become Muslims, although knowing that secretly they were Jews.
Wow.
So it's parallel stories. I'm talking to people in Istanbul and in Brazil and in Europe, and they're saying, Blanca, your stories, our family stories, but we're Muslims, you were Catholic.
Wow.
So, I mean, Jonah, I honestly, this is a phenomenon that is indescribable, you know, and we're trying to put pieces together and bring people together and network. So this is an opportunity for people to network and get to learn, you know, the amazing things that our ancestors went through.
Do they call themselves crypto Jews in Turkey, or they have a different name?
They call themselves the Dome. The Dome.
Dome?
Donme.
Mm-hmm. Donme.
But it's the same. D-O-N. Yes. Look into it.
Yeah. It's so interesting. And so your society for crypto Judaic studies, you have a big conference coming up.
Yes.
In Los Angeles, my hometown.
Yes.
That's how I actually found out about you. I don't know how I came across it, but I saw some sort of advertisement for the conference August 10th through 12th.
Correct.
It is the 35th annual. So you guys have been doing this a long time. That's a big milestone.
Yes.
The theme is identities and experiences navigating the crypto Jewish journey. What does that mean to you? It's a little vague.
Yes. This time around, we are focusing on people who have learned about their ancestry, like me, and we're going to have him in our workshop. As to how to write your story, how to write your book, because I'm really, really interested in writing my book, because many people are asking when. But among them, we're going to have an amazing film. It's going to be the debut in L.A., Jeannie Milgram, she was from Cuba. The same story, you know, from Cuban parents that they she didn't know. She found out they were Jewish because of all her investigative labor. She ended up going to Portugal. She found the little town where her ancestors were from. She found a mikveh that it was totally hidden and nobody will speak about it, and she found it. So she and her husband, they made a movie about her story, and we're going to be showing it on Sunday. She had an audience with Pope Francis before, of course, when he was still alive.
Right.
And he pledged to her to open the archives, the Inquisitional archives for her, so that she can do more research, because she does. And we're going to have a genealogy workshop with her that Sunday morning, midday. And she's going to teach us, or teach anyone who would like to start working on their genealogy tree, how to use the sources and how to start building up your tree. So we're having her workshop at midday. We're showing Isaac Arnstein's movie, The Long Journey, the Secret Jews of the Southwest. I happen to be in that movie. We're going to be showing it Monday morning. It's going to be an amazing. We're going to be having an opera based on Doña Gracia Nasi, who was a very well-known. It was like the Rothschild in Spain. And she was able to pull a lot of Jews and take them into Tiberias. She actually bought Tiberias just so that she could pull Jews from Spain and place them there.
Wow.
So Doña Gracia Nasi is well known among the crypto Jews. And we have Dr. Michelle Wilner, also from LA, creating this beautiful, amazing opera that is going to be shown presented again on Monday night. So our conference gives opportunity for people to either attend a full conference or just pieces, parts of it, or a full day, or just the movie, or just the opera. So I will really, really invite people to look into that.
And where would people go if they want to look into it? Where should we send them?
CryptoJewsAllTogether.com, and you will find the information of the conference and the different opportunities to participate.
We will be sure to put that in the show notes so everybody has that ready for them.
Thank you.
Blanca, this has been so interesting and fascinating. I'm so happy for you and the discovery journey that you've been on and the community that you've found and the, all the excavating you're doing, I know is so valuable to so many others. So keep telling your story, and I hope some of our listeners will show up for the conference. And thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
My pleasure. She's a Mensch. It's been 30 minutes. I'm Jonah Platt. Hasta luego.